Mark.
The meeting is called to order, please. 6 o'clock. Let's be aware of the agenda. We are going to have several things to discuss tonight. We have a pretty good format, and I believe that we'll be moving along rather quickly with this process this evening. Roll call, please.
Sawyer.
Here.
Moranek.
Here.
Swanson.
Here.
Patrick.
Present.
Zalin.
Here.
Huster. Busby.
Here.
Springsteen.
Here.
Allen.
Here.
Smith.
Here.
Rumahu.
Here.
Beamer.
Here.
Webster.
Here.
And Olson.
Here.
Thank you very much. I interjected a section here called Questions and Remarks Related to the Budget Process at the request of several people. We're going to turn the floor over to the committee in just a minute. I want to call your attention to the young lady in the back, Marletta Noe. Marletta, would you stand up? She's been here. She sits in on all these committee workers. In case if you don't know her, she is a home care worker. Been in Newport since 1966, and she just comes to listen and monitor these, and I wish we had another 100 like her to sit in the bleachers up there so somebody could show their interest in what goes on in the city of Newport. But let's just thank you, Marletta, for your citizenship. It's very nice of you to be part of this process. We really appreciate that. We're going to turn it over to Patricia for a minute. She has opportunity to ask 4 questions, please. Okay.
Oh, gee, thanks. So I had 2 pages of questions, but I guess I'll just, since we're going to do water and sewer tonight, it looks like. Is that correct? We're going to focus on that.
Yes, yes.
So I'll go ahead and ask those. At the last budget meeting, David had made the statement that both the water and the wastewater stand alone. They are treated like businesses. Pretty much as far as, you know, their entities. So my question is, does that statement mean that the two entities sustain themselves? Actually, there's a whole series of questions here, so let me just read them and then, you know, whoever can answer them. I want to know if the two entities sustain themselves. Are they making money or costing money? How are the negatives covered? How are the positives distributed? And what is the outstanding collections on both water and or wastewater, or however that is configured?
All right, your first question is, how are the negatives covered? Or costing money?
Costing.
Are they making money
making
or costing money?
Making money or costing us money? Does anybody want to take that question?
Yeah, I'll go ahead. They stand alone. If they were a business, they'd be making money.
Okay.
They don't lose money. They don't lose money.
Okay.
They make money. If they make more than they spend, which is typically the case, then they'll be used for capital. They may not be used immediately for capital, but the extra money will go into the contingency or the unappropriate ending fund balance and be carried over to the next year. They, I don't remember all of your questions, but essentially they're of this size and magnitude. I think you have something along these lines. The water fund this year is budgeted at and will make about will receive about $2.6 million. The wastewater fund will make or receive about $3 million. 15% of them that we'll talk about tonight, based upon those two figures, which be roughly then $3 million and $3.5 million, give or take tens of thousands of dollars. But they are quite literally a business. They don't lose, and they are not subsidized by anybody. As a matter of fact, they are taxed by other funds.
How are the negatives covered? How are the negatives covered?
There are no negatives.
All right. There are no negatives. How are the positives distributed? That was your third part.
Yes, and they're distributed, right, or not even distributed, and simply set aside for the future in either contingency or inappropriate ending fund balance.
Okay.
And our fourth question was, what are the outstanding collections on water and wastewater? Tim, do you have that?
He just told you what they were.
Collections to me are receipts.
All right.
That's $2.6 million and
$3
million.
2.6
and
3.0.
Yeah, did you mean fast? 2.63. Yes, I did. I'm at past due. I'm sorry. I said collections is a different thing. I'm at past due.
Oh, well, I'm putting together the accounts receivable report on that right now.
Okay.
I don't have it, but I could get it addressed.
That's okay. We can do it later. That was just one of my questions. You know something, in the respect of time, my other ones kind of deal with finance, library, fire, and police, and I'm just going to go ahead and forgo those and allow Tim to go ahead and do his thing, and I'll hit those other ones later.
All right. Are there any other questions or remarks related to the budget process from the committee? Anyone else want to ask a question? Fred, did you have something you wanted to say?
Only to say that whatever rate increases, you know, I brought this up last year, and if there had been any foresight last year, we wouldn't be having this conversation now. I can only say that this process, whatever the result, will be extremely regressive. In other words, if you don't know what the word regressive means in terms of economics, it's going to affect lower income people more than it's going to affect the upper income people, simply because a higher percentage of their income is going to be paid for this fee. And really, it's a tax because the commodity itself doesn't have that much value. It's more of the maintenance and operations of the thing that's sucking up all the cash. And if you run the numbers on these increases, and they're compounded numbers. If you increase your percentages of the water bill on top of increases, what you get is a compounding thing. And if anybody's run the numbers on a normal residence of a year ago it was a $50 or $60 water bill, and this year it's a $70 or an $80 or a $90 water bill, if you put in the increases that you've got on the drawing board, you're looking at $100.50 to $200 a month. And that's going to affect rents. It's going to affect a lot of people who don't own property in this town. And if you're thinking about economic development in this town, you're doing one of the most unfriendly things you can do by chasing away your labor force. And that's said my piece.
All right. Thank you, Fred. Anybody else, please? Yes, ladies first. You're on.
Just on the process, two things. One, last week we did talk about the projected ending balance, and I just wanted to make it clear that we maybe are trying to sharpen our pencils and get that ending balance so it's not $1 million less. Is that a shared marching orders or philosophy out there?
I can follow up on that. Since I started that discussion last meeting, my hope is, as part of this budget process, when we're looking at the general fund, which is the one we're talking about, I'd like to look at the items that have been budgeted that may be more discretionary than necessary. There may be some large capital outlay items that are just a placeholder. They may not necessarily be spent this year, but they're a placeholder. And perhaps I'd like to get some input from the city manager and the finance director as to whether we need to keep those as a placeholder rather than putting them into reserve so it shows a healthier ending fund balance. Because and I think there is some discretionary stuff that has been placed in the general fund that we may be able to remove without impacting personnel or capital or materials and services and those types of things.
Jim and I have discovered over the past 3 years that we attack the same problem in very different ways, but quite frequently come up with pretty much the same answer. And that was the case here, because that one spreadsheet that says starting with 2.1 million and ending 1.1 million, that is, to my way of thinking, worst case conservative. By that I mean it assumes everything is spent. Reserves, well, reserves can't be spent. But other than reserves, that the contingency is spent, the capital is spent, and that number of discretionary that may not be spent approaches between $500,000 and $700,000. Mm-hmm. Both Jim and I have reached that. So if you were to ask me what likely is going to happen in fiscal year 14, I would suspect that 1.1 is too conservative, the 2.1 is way too liberal, and that we'll end up with an ending fund balance of about $1.4 to $1.6 million, because some of that will not be spent. We don't know what will not be spent. It's also equally true that we don't know that we're not going to have a $400,000 problem that's going to wipe out contingency and other things. And so my position is always be as conservative as possible, because if you end up with more cash, there's nothing wrong with that. You can always spend it later. If you're too aggressive and you don't have the cash, often you've already spent it. And if you haven't physically spent it, you spend it up here. And I've seen that for 20 years in working in the public sector. And so my numbers tend to be very conservative, that when Jim and I looked at this, we said, we're within 100 to 150,000. And if you had to ask me on what we'll end up with, $1.5 million is what I'd say now. And I'm not especially comfortable with that, because it's going to have to be $1.5 million just to meet council requirements for the ending fund balance at the end of fiscal year 14. But having said that, 1.1 is probably the worst case, which is one that I normally take.
Okay, David,
yes.
Quick question. So in the ending, in the summary, we do have the 2.1 beginning, 1.1 ending, and you're saying it could be somewhere in between. I guess my next question is, even if we adopt a moderate road here between your and Jim's perspective, isn't the fact that we're still decreasing the ending fund balance below what the beginning fund balance is, isn't that a pattern that we don't want to start undertaking? Or do you believe there's enough one-time expenditures in this year's budget in which you won't continue to see that erosion of the ending fund balance over time?
I think there's a more critical parameter, and I'll talk about that in a minute. Remember, just 2 or 3 years ago, the ending fund balance in the general fund was budgeted and sometimes actually arrived between $700,000 and $800,000. We're now talking $10.5 million, and our expenditures have increased considerably. I think that is the result of many things, including better economic control over what we're doing. I don't think we should ever get below $1.5 million. And the scope of financial management, maybe a little luck, I think we will. But our goal was by 2015 to get in the vicinity of 1.75 million or something like that. That might be a little difficult. It might be a little challenging, but I think it's something that we should shoot for.
Okay, thanks.
Well, everybody's espousing philosophies, I guess, a little bit. One of the things I'd like everyone to consider is I agree that that 15% increase in the water, wastewater rates is a very serious matter. And I think it has a big effect on our city, as was previously stated. And we need to look at ways we can help out with that. When I say help out, obviously we can cut back on projects. I hope we don't have to do it, because I agree they need to be done. But is there money, some of the monies that we can possibly save in the general fund or other funds, can we transfer those into the wastewater or water funds on a one-time basis and help out with some of those capital projects? Is there city assets that perhaps is now we should be looking into, you know, divesting ourselves of and in turn putting them into capital projects?
I think there's a couple answers to that. As we said last week, and I must have confused some people, general fund money, by and large, with one exception, which is the Georgia Pacific money, is entirely discretionary. We can transfer $100,000 or $1 million from the general fund to any fund we wanted to legally. Practically, it's a whole different matter. And I would strongly recommend against it. Let's assume that a week and Thursday night, we decided no economic development. We're going to take that $90,000 in the general fund and do something else with it. The only thing that should be done with that $90,000 or anything else that's saved in the general fund is to keep it in the general fund. And there's a couple of reasons, and really many more. And one will hit directly on Tim, and I know how he'll respond to this, because I think ultimately he's right. The general fund taxes the water and wastewater fund to the tune of $327,000 for, fees in lieu of franchise tax. I think we can't do it in fiscal year 14. Tim would say, and he's correct, you're taxing me for something just to get the general fund to balance. That's how sensitive the general fund is now. The general fund, without taxing his two funds for $327,000, would not be in balance. However, in fiscal year 15, I think we ought to strongly consider not taxing water and wastewater for those fees and lose franchise taxes. But then what happens to the general fund is now $327,000 less robust. And you can't have it both ways, and that's the problem we're starting to have. Tim's got real urgent needs. You all know what those are. We take away from those needs $327,000. And the one thing I was going to hit up on when I previously spoke is that in 2012, by the audit numbers, the general fund's operating revenues were exceeded by the general fund's operating expenses by $1 million. Fiscal year 14 budget, I'm talking operating, not the internal soft money that goes back and forth between the funds, because that's budgeting money, it's not bill money. This year it's $1.1 million. So the cash we have coming in is exceeded by the cash going out by $1 million, and I don't know what's going to happen in fiscal year 13. That's what we can't continue to do. We can't continue to do that. That's the most sensitive thing. And so in order to get things to balance, we say, Tim, you've got to give us $327,000. You've been doing it for years, and I missed a year in which I didn't even know that that was supposed to be happening. But the general fund wouldn't balance if we didn't do that. And so there's nothing, in my opinion, in the general fund that can be lent or given to any fund. And even if it could, it's a one-time effort only. And then what happens in the next year? So the entrepreneurial funds have got to stand on their own, and so does the general fund. And the general fund should neither tax nor give to the entrepreneurial funds, in my opinion, anything.
Thank you. I'm going to move item number 7 up.
Robert.
Just a quick.
All right.
That was, from talking with David earlier, that the property tax increase is 2.75.
Yes.
And room tax probably flat.
All indications are that.
And almost all of the other revenues are flat.
With the exception of water and wastewater,
General fund.
General fund, yes.
Yeah. And so it's basically whatever that 2.75 increase is. It's pretty much what we've got to work with as far as increased funding for the general fund.
Yes, and unless we decide to tax some of the other funds even more than we have now.
And that is about $300,000?
No, it's $300,000 to 10. Yeah. It's total with over $2 million.
Oh, the increase, the 2.75.
The allocation of overhead and the transportation probably to get to the city.
But that's the amount of money that we have from above and beyond last year to this year's, the general fund is primarily the increase in property tax.
Now, the general fund is $2 million larger than last year because in small part because of the property taxes, in some part because I underestimated the franchise taxes, not the ones we just talked about. And to a considerable extent, because now the money is coming directly from the room tax fund into the general fund, so it went from $566,000 to $1.2 million. So that's why the general fund is in $12 million rather than $10 million. Yeah.
Thank you. David Allen for 20 seconds.
Just a real quick point. I told him 20 seconds. On page 46, David, you have the transfers out of the general fund as a lump sum item, but in the budget that Peggy sent to us with the account level, I just want to note that even though you said we shouldn't be transferring money out of the general fund into the water and sewer fund because they're entrepreneurial funds, we do transfer a considerable amount of money out of the general fund to the airport fund and the recreation fund and several other funds. So I guess there is a lot of money going out of the general fund to support other funds that are policy choices we make. So I just want to say that money goes out of the general fund, folks. Those are policy choices, and those are choices we can make one way or another.
Yes. Good point, good point. In order to allow these two women to enjoy their lives and not have to sit through all of our meetings, I've got to move this up. But Linda, you are first on the business license increase. She would like to address you all.
Where do you want me to sit?
Right up here. Right there.
Just so we can hear you,
Linda. 3 minutes. Thank you.
He's nice. This is license. 2 years ago or 3 years ago, you started a task force to review the business licensing. And after everything was said and done, licensing changed. There was an increase for the small business owner with less than 5 employees from $75 to $95 for their license. All other businesses who are paying more than $75 got a reduction in theirs from whatever they were paying down to $95. So for those of us who maybe are a single person working, we went from $75 to $95. Now with this next $10, we're going to go up to $105. So that is a, what kind of an increase? $20 increase. No, more than that, I can't add tonight yet. $30 increase in 2 years for the one person employee business. And it doesn't affect the big guy like it affects those of us who are little. And I represent a lot of the small business owners in Night Beach, and we're kind of concerned about this one. That's one thing. The other part, you've asked about signing for the loop. And you know, the sign on the loop doesn't say Lincoln County Loop. It doesn't say Lincoln County Newport Loop. It says Newport Loop. It's as if we have our own private bus service. And we can have as much service as we want. We just have to pay for it. And we're only paying $90,000 for it. We have 15% of the ridership for the entire county on that bus, over 27,000 people. To get good signs, we need 42 of them because we have 42 bus stops in Newport that are visited every hour, 10 times a day, 8 times a day. It depends on just where you fall in the schedule. The signs cost $104 a piece. They accommodate the entire schedule, the map and the schedule. They'll have a secure front on them. It costs $24 for a little tool to open it up and change the schedule. So every time the schedule changes, it can be replaced. $104 for 42 signs. We need 37 poles. Those cost $22.65 a piece, plus your shipping. So we're looking at $5,700 to put signage up for the Newport Loop. You may or not be aware of right now, we have connectivity to the valley. You can go 4 times a day to Corvallis, to Paloma, to the hospital. You can go twice a day to Amtrak. This is 7 days a week. You can be in Corvallis by 8:15 to get a bus wherever you need to go. They take you to the transit goal there. If you want to go to the airport in Portland, you can go to Corvallis Hilton. There is a bus every 2 hours that goes to the Portland airport. It runs every 2 hours, 24 hours a day, 365 days a year. We need to be marketing to our international travelers and the people like our lovely man over here who loves transit and plans his vacations around the transit of the city. Market to the folks who can take transit. If you listen to the radio, you're going to hear the ads for the 5-County Connect, where they are advertising a 3-day and a 5-day pass, so you can be in that county, you can ride their transit for 3 or 5 days for one set fee. I'm sure my 3 minutes is up. Is it not? Okay. You're going to put myself. Okay, I can get this in 3 minutes.
Look at the clock on
it. I will be back in 2 weeks and probably see you at City Council on Monday. But if there are any questions I can answer about the Newport Loop, it is so essential. And if you've been reading the paper and a few of the letters to the editor, we have people who use that loop who are essential to our tourist trade. One more thing. Oh, I'm sorry. I found this in our budgets. This is from the year 2009-10. And the goal for function and responsibility out of the room tax fund was provide the city contribution for the Beta Beach shuttle. That was $12,500 that year. In 08-09, under significant items, capital outlay, Beta Beach shuttle expand service, $8,400. And in fiscal year 11, this is in the budget message, community livability, continue to support and possibly expand the Lincoln County Transit District City Shuttle Program. So this is something that has been going on for a while. To find it in the budget, you can't find it after these 2 years because it probably moved. I can find it in these 2 years out of transient room tax, but after that I cannot find it, but it has been funded. I'll leave this in case you want to look back. I've been searching your documents a lot.
Thank you, Linda.
Thank you for the extra time.
It's your passion, I'm sure.
Yeah, one of my babies.
We have the opportunity to hear from Nyla Chabowski. She's going to ask us to find another way to pay for the infrastructure improvements, and I'm interested in listening to her suggestions as to how we're going to do this.
I'm here to ask you what your options are.
It would be nice if you could give us some suggestions also.
Well, can you float a bond?
Right here. You're on.
I'll just sit here. Can you float a bond to pay for these improvements? I don't have any objection. In fact, I support all of these ideas. I know that these infrastructure improvements are overdue. I know that we need to do them for at least a decade probably. And I, in fact, was very upset with the prior public works supervisor because I couldn't get him to engage in a discussion about it. We had a citizens water group that was meeting for a while, and some members of the council came and sat and tried to have conversations with us about it. And I asked him to please just get a big whiteboard or, you know, some newspaper or something and draw a loop of the city system and show us where the problems are and schedule a tour at the sewer treatment plant. So, I mean, I'm thrilled that we are now addressing these critical issues that have been needing our attention for a long time. But I was here a year ago when I saw that you guys were going to raise the rates. I brought in my nasty water filter that was disgusting, to show you what kind of water I have now. I think I'm trying to remember what I said to you. I think I told you that in 2004 my water bill was $30. And last month it was 90. And according to his projections that he's got laid out here, within another 4 years it will be $160 a month. I'm now on Social Security disability. And the ironic thing is that I have a hydro therapy tub for my disabilities. And it's not a hot tub that's full of water and, it, you know, I just treat it. No, I fill it and drain it every day. And so I have this beautiful Kohler tub with massage jets in the back that I am filling up. But that's why I have a $90 water bill, even though I live alone. And so this is, and like I said, I'm on Social Security disability, so this is becoming a critical issue for me. And there was some noise about an SOS fund that does not exist. A year ago, you guys said you were going to set up an SOS fund, and you have done nothing in my knowledge.
That's not true. We've got a total of $380.
$380?
That's it.
Yeah, okay, so that's like, what, 3 months of my water bill now?
Well,
it's silly. It's silly.
Well, but it's not meaningful.
Excuse me, but I'm freaking out. It's not meaningful. $380 in a fund for the entire community is not even meaningful.
It's the community.
Nyla, your concerns are expressed by an awful lot of people throughout the city of Newport. Nobody likes to get the water bills that they're getting now. It really is a concern for everybody. I share your concern. I live alone. I'm only there 3 days a week, and my water bill is $90. But after our discussion tonight, this is on our menu tonight. Sit and listen to what we have to say. And if you're not satisfied with what we're going to be doing and what we have to say, then I expect you to be here on the 30th and speaking to us again. That's the way the process works. And I really, you're the only person that walks in the door and speaks tonight to this issue that's so important to a lot of people.
I don't think people even understand what's going on.
I know, but you're the only one here.
My water bill was nailed.
We're going to listen. And you listen to us tonight, what we do. If we don't address these issues the way you think we should address them, then it's your responsibility to come back here next time we meet and hit it right on the head.
Two issues. My water bill was mailed out on April 30th. I didn't open it until the city council meeting was over to discuss this issue. Your meeting was on the 6th, is that right? And the postmark on my envelope was April 30th. So that wasn't even a week's notice that was going to happen, or I would have been at that other meeting. Number two, my disabilities preclude me from sitting through all kinds of public meetings like this. I can't hardly stand to sit here in the chair now. I didn't even want to come tonight because this is causing me a significant amount of physical discomfort to be here. That's why I never participate in this stuff, because of my disabilities. And so I, I wanted, are you going to discuss maybe like bond measures or something?
We are. We're going to bring these issues up. You bet.
Okay.
Thank you very much. The way we're going to proceed tonight, we're going to be discussing number one, operations, and that's number 55 through 63 of your booklet. That will be the first thing we'll be doing. Shouldn't be too much of a difficulty getting through operations, how things operate. The second thing we're going to be discussing are capital projects. That goes from page 64 through 74. That is where the bulk of our discussion will be tonight, and Tim is here to respond to that. And then the third thing, page 75 through the end of that, which is 83, wastewater. So we have operations, capital projects, and wastewater that we're going to be discussing tonight. But before we open up this discussion of operations on page 55, we'll give you a chance to get there, I would like Tim very briefly to once again explain to me the difference between the five-year plan and the 10-year plan that we had. The city council opted out for the five-year plan, is that correct?
Last year we had several options. The council, the majority vote, voted for the five-year plan. Last week at the council meeting, since I was the no vote last year because I thought geo bonds should be in the mix, I asked him last week to come to the budget committee to talk about the five-year plan and some other options that this committee could consider, and that's what he's going to be here for tonight, to address those issues as well.
Perhaps it would be a good idea if I started talking a little bit about the concept of utility rate adjustments, what our
floors goals
are, and what some of the options that we have are.
So we can all hear you a little bit louder, please.
Okay. I'm going to be quite blunt. Your utilities do not have the ability to support themselves at this time under current funding, period. It's that blunt. You have the ability to operate your facility. You do not have the ability to replace your declining assets. And I'm going to make a comparison here and compare it to, say, a bus service, a trucking service, a taxi service, whatever you want. You start out with five taxis. And you invest money for repairs on those taxis, for fuel on those taxis, and your taxis are aging. You have never once put aside money for adding taxis to your fleet as your business grows and or replacing those taxis when you no longer can keep them moving. The principle is exactly the same. The city has only funded its utilities to the point of operations and treatment and has not invested in capital improvements or asset replacement at all. And I mean at all. And that is where that's the situation that we're facing right now, and that was the proposal for the five-year utility rate adjustment. We, as a public works agency, came forward to the council last year with some different scenarios on how we could address that particular issue. We looked at raising the rates in a single year. We looked at raising the rates over 3, 5, 10 years, and the impact that each of those scenarios would have and the need for capital projects that we have within that same time frame. And what I mean by that is when we looked at the 10-year scenario as an example, there are some specific projects that need to be done immediately in order to address failing infrastructure issues that we have right at this point in time, that if you decided to wait for 10 years to raise your rates to the point where they are sustainable, you would no longer be able to support the debt service associated with the loans to do those improvements. Too long of a time period at that point. So we're looking at some other things right now in terms of low-interest loans to get us through the next few years. That being said, you can do a geo bond, and what you can do is you can change how you would do utility rate adjustments. You can finance as many projects as you want, and the balance is, the challenge is trying to afford the debt service that you would have by taking any kind of a loan or any kind of a revenue bonding type of scenario versus a geo bond, which is paid for differently. The fact of the matter is you can take money out for that geo bond. You can do those projects that are initial and that are important, the A and B wastewater improvements as an example, but you still do not have the money within your rates to be able to support your infrastructure ongoing. And so if you just remember that as the core of the issue, and you decide you want to deal with that this year or you want to deal with that over the next 10 years, there's infinite amounts of scenarios to get to that point. But you can never lose sight of the fact that you cannot support your infrastructure today. The point of public works infrastructure in a city such as ours is there's a few main key things that you're trying to accomplish. In your water system, you're providing clean, consistent, potable water for your constituents that they can drink, that they can bathe in, that they can use for whatever they're going to use water for. And you're also providing fire protection. We, most of the time, can provide the former. We cannot provide the latter right now. Our system does not have the capacity to provide fire protection, particularly in the northern part of Newport. At this point in time, we cannot do it. There is industrial land that is pre-permitted for development in the north part of Newport, along Avery Street, the Lawson property. We've been going through that process for a couple years of pre-approving them for industrial development. They are not able to develop until we build the Northeast 71st Street tank, because we cannot provide fire protection for any development in that region. Nor can we take their wastewater flow at this time, because the existing wastewater system for the north part of Newport is already over capacity. And the DEQ is waiting on our doorstep to cite us at the first point that we decide to not pursue that Agate Beach wastewater improvements. They've told me that. They're waiting. But because we made forward progress, they're letting us go, because they believe that we have a plan for implementing those projects. And we are moving forward on those projects. We do not have the ability to consistently take wastewater and treat it effectively. We added an additional employee at the wastewater treatment plant because we were in danger of not meeting our effluent limits. The effect that had was we moved from an 8-hour day to a 14-hour day, which then consequently increased our electrical and chemical costs. And if you take a look at the fiscal year 13 wastewater treatment dollars, you'll see those two numbers are well outside of their budget category because we had to expand our operational hours. In addition to that, we do not have the ability to regularly collect wastewater without ongoing overflows at a number of our lift stations because they are under capacity and they are old. They are fully depreciated. Taxis that no longer run and are sitting in your yard. That's exactly what they are. The Lawson property is an industrial property. That falls into that category. They cannot discharge additional wastewater that sits in because it is at capacity. Schooner Creek lift station overflows every time it rains. 48th Street pump station breaks down all the time. And you all have heard lots and lots of stories about the Big Creek pump station. They all compromise the entire wastewater system for the entire north part of Newport, starting from Walmart to the north. That's an entire third of our population that we cannot provide sewer collection for. That's what we're facing today. And as I said, and David brings up an excellent point, there are other scenarios that you can use to fund these. You can't lose sight of the fact that you need to be able to have an ongoing revenue source for your utilities to sustain them for a long term. The concept on how they run the utilities has been a bit flawed in my perspective. I cannot see how they have ever managed to replace their assets. I mean, that's as simple as it gets. And if you take a look at the utility rate increases over the past 30-something years, since 1974 I have information on, there were no utility rate increases from 1974 until 1996. In 1996, I believe they raised water rates and wastewater rates. It was like 25% and 20%, and then the next year was 20% and 20%. It was a huge rate increase over 2 years. And then there was a number of years where they were increased only by the rate of inflation until we got up to last year. It's very, very difficult to overcome that type of a scenario in a few years. Very, very, very difficult. But if you take a look at the utility rate that the city of Newport has right now, in fiscal year 13, inclusive of the rate changes that we made last year, we're in the bottom of the second quartile for other cities of 20,000 people or less in Oregon. Way below average on what our utility rates are for an infrastructure facility or system of our type. There's something to consider in the city of Newport is that you live on the coast and it's expensive to do business here. And it's expensive to do utilities here. What I mean by that is we have 32 pump stations and lift stations that we operate in our community. You don't see that in the valley, because the majority of their system is gravity flow, or they have water tanks that provide their water pressure. You're built into the coastal mountains here. We have excessive amounts of rain. Our wastewater treatment plant is built 3 times the size that's necessary for us to account for that inflow and infiltration. And that inflow and infiltration is a direct result of failing assets. And that increases over the course of time, and you only end up treating more wastewater. So we're at the point where we're replacing pumps and blowers. If you take a look at our mechanical costs in the wastewater treatment facility this year, that equipment runs nonstop, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, for the last 12 years. We had a blower fire this year where we burned our blower literally to smithereens. We had to replace both of them. We replaced one of our 250 horsepower pumps in our influent pump station. The equipment's just wearing out, and it's only 12 years old. Our wastewater system right now, 16% of our revenues goes to pay for debt service already.
Oh.
Already. 11% of our revenues in wastewater and water go to pay for electric and chemical alone. That's the cost of doing business in Newport. How we get there, sky's the limit. I mean, we can make a decision. That's why when we came to council last year, we don't want to indebt the council to raise rates. You have to raise rates over 5 years. We said no. Here's a scenario that's likely. Let's take 1 year of a five-year plan and start. We knew year two would be bad. Year three is going to be worse. But we don't have to do a five-year plan. We can do a 10-year plan or a 20-year plan, as long as we have a way of funding the infrastructure in the meantime, so that we can at least deal with the stuff that's failing right now. If you take a look at the financial policies that we've modified, and we're going to talk a little bit about that, in water and wastewater. I believe originally the financial policies were to put aside 10% of the revenues for contingency, and I don't remember what the percentage was, but it was something equivalent for unappropriated ending fund balance. To the tune of some $700,000 per fund, it was unsustainable. And they were, I think, established, those policies were established for a rainy day fund. The rainy day is right now. It doesn't get any worse than this. Literally, it does not get worse than this. The Nye Beach lift station backed up last Saturday when the power went out because we blew up the power or blew up our motor controllers. It leaked wastewater out in the Nye Beach on Saturday afternoon when there was 250 people there. Why is that? Because the Nye Beach lift station is undersized. My guy was there in 5 minutes, and in 45 seconds it was overflowing. Nye Beach lift station is not even on our radar screen. It's not even one of the worst ones. And yet that was the one that overflowed on Saturday. Big Creek, it overflows all the time. I mean, we have permanent signs we put down there. That is not the way to run a utility system. Now I'm venting a little bit, but you have to understand the condition of your infrastructure. And I can take you on a tour and show you where the bodies are buried. It's a very easy thing to do. And don't have to drive very far. We can walk out of the building and show you. I'm not going to get into any more detail than that, but that's how we're set up at this point in time. And that's why I will, every year, come back with proposed rate increases, because that is my duty as the Director of Public Works to tell you what our utility systems are really like and what the costs really are, and come up with any scenarios we can to get to that point 10 years down the road or 50 years down the road, because that's my job as a Public Works Director and as a city engineer, is not to think about today and the impact on our rates this year, because I need to think about how that system is going to operate forever and how we keep the system going forever. Those rates that were established in that five-year plan was to accomplish $1.5 million in the water fund and $1.5 million in the wastewater fund for ongoing capital improvements every single year. And so if you can get to the point where you have a sustainable rate structure, you don't have to raise rates 20%, 25%, 15%, 10%. You meet the cost of inflation, you tweak it, adjust it, so that you can maintain those ongoing capital infrastructure improvements, and then, you know, the people who come after us don't have to go through the same exercise anymore. As long as that policy is maintained and you keep increasing rates to meet with the cost of inflation in your business. You know, the cost of treating water now, in 2013, is three times the cost it was in treating water in 1950. Our water treatment standards are so much higher, our wastewater treatment effluent standards are so much higher. 1965 was a combined sewer, they dumped it out to the ocean. Of course your rates in 1965 were cheaper. We didn't have a treatment plant. You know, and you have to consider that. When you hear a lot of historical information on what rates were like, it's so much more expensive to do public works than it ever has been. There. So let's go into the funds that are paid for through water and wastewater, because I think that's also important. The water and wastewater funds support operations. When I say operations, I mean public works, administration, engineering, and to a lesser extent, fleet services. That's the beginning of what we're starting here on page 55. Water and wastewater support engineering and public works administration completely. Our purpose in life is to run our infrastructure system. Now I've taken on a few additional duties here dealing with facilities and park maintenance. That's also one under my umbrella. But there's just really not realistic for them to support my salary in any way, shape, or form. And so our division is entirely supported by those utility funds, and rightly so. Every city should be that way because that's the purpose of our being. It supports to a lesser extent streets and stormwater. We implemented a stormwater utility fee last year. The stormwater utility fee is entirely used to pay for stormwater operations. Stormwater operations and streets used to be paid for through large contributions of the general fund, and it was unsustainable because the general fund couldn't afford to do it. And so the stormwater utility fee was implemented so that we can maintain our stormwater at a higher level than we had before. There is a coastal TMDL process occurring right now. And what that is they limit your effluents in your stormwater for different things. In this particular case, it's going to be sediments, bacteria, temperature. Those are the impairments that they will govern. That's in the process of being implemented right now. And the city of Newport will have effluent standards for our stormwater. So it's necessary that we maintain our stormwater system to a high level. Find out where the cross connections are between our wastewater and stormwater systems. Make sure people aren't discharging sediment to our systems. Making sure our catch basins are clean. So that's what that's paying for, that stormwater utility fee that was implemented last year. If you take a look at the overall cost that the utility rates had on a typical user's bill, say $5,000 or $6,000, it was about 22.5% overall impact last year on their utility bill. And primarily for the small user, it was that stormwater utility fee was the big hit. $6.80 is a good portion of your bill when your bill is $60 a month. This year, the overall impact is about 11.5%, half of what it was last year. And that was intentional with the five-year plan. The big rate increase up front in the first year, lesser the second year, lesser the third year, lesser the fourth year. And by the time you get to the fifth year, you're pretty much just getting to that point where all you have to do is inflationary increases. We also contribute to the stormwater and wastewater fund through water and wastewater fees. There are services that are rendered to that fund. The equipment is shared. If you've ever been out on a water break, almost all the guys that are out there are street operators. Our jetter is used for the water department. They share equipment and personnel all the time. And so they pay a portion of that wastewater. Also receive services from the stormwater division. If you take a look at how they're allocated, that's how that's set up. A portion of your utility bill from wastewater pays for some of the stormwater improvements, some of the cross connections, some of the repairs that are done. They group those together, and usually the streets guys do that because the wastewater guys don't have the staff to do that because they're usually working on lift stations and pump stations. I'm not quite sure what kind of detail you want to get into public works, operations, administration, engineering. Perhaps I can show there's a new cost center in here called Fleet Operations. We have somebody who's working for us right now part-time. Justin Perkins, he was one of our summer helpers, and he has a background in auto mechanics, and we were desperately in need of upgrading our equipment and maintaining our equipment, so we started him part-time doing that for us, and he's so busy at this point, we need to run him full-time. And so we've set up a cost center, and basically with that cost center, that fleet cost center, is supported by the fire department, the street department, the water department, the sewer department, anybody whose equipment is maintained by them. They all share in the salary and the cost of doing that. So we don't have to ship our equipment out anywhere else. You can do that work for us. It works on parks, equipment, lawnmowers, things like that. So that's a new cost center that you'll see in there, and it makes sense to drop it under Public Works Administration because it's being funded from a bunch of other sources that doesn't water down, say, water or streets or stormwater. It makes it more sense. Any questions on Public Works?
Jim, let me ask you. Is the current five-year plan that's in process right now doing its job?
Oh, my word, yes. If you take a look at the revenue it achieves in one year, I think we increased our revenues by $300,000 or $400,000 in water or wastewater, somewhere in that range. And so I have a pretty elaborate spreadsheet that I track my capital projects on, and it shows where those funds go to. And so as we get into capital projects, I can talk a little bit more about that. Our operational costs for water and wastewater haven't moved much in the last couple of years. There have been equipment replacements that we've had to do. As I mentioned, you know, pumps burn out, motors burn out. We have pickup trucks that fall apart, we replace. We bought an excavator last year so we can do more work in-house and shopping it out to contractors, that kind of thing. But you see, you've seen those every year anyway. So our overall operational costs haven't really changed much if you compare fiscal year 14 to 13. So the bulk of the increases from the rates have been going into capital projects. And you know, I can show you every capital project and how it's funded and where those rates actually went.
All right, let's go to page 55. Let me get to you in just a minute. Let's go to page 55 and all the way down to 63. And this is the operations section. And this is pretty clear cut. We'll go to your question, and then we'll go to any specific questions on the operation budget, see if we get through this quickly. Yes, sir.
Hey, Tim, you mentioned the fleet. I noticed the budget for fuel, oil, and fleet maintenance is up around 15-20% for next year. What's the background of that? And that's citywide.
Within the Can you repeat your question, please?
I noticed the cost for fuel and oil and fleet maintenance, the two of them together, are up around 15-20% more than they were last year citywide. And I know fuel prices have gone up, but not that much. So what's the
okay,
background?
What page are you looking at?
What?
Page.
What page are you looking at?
Oh, it's no page.
Are you talking in general across operations?
Just across the
so
whole city.
Water, wastewater, streets, engineering,
across
everybody,
the whole
fuel,
city. Across the whole city.
Yeah. Well, you know, fuel costs have gone up, and our need to be out in the street is, what I'm guessing has happened, and I didn't look at that number specifically, is that they probably underfunded that last year in comparison with our actual costs are. It's not unusual to see $2,000 or $2,500 a month in the street department for fuel. You know, they run all their heavy equipment, they run all their trucks off of that, and we've been doing more work in-house or contracting out less. So last year we bought an excavator. We use that for repairing the pool. We use that for putting the sewer line. We use that for landscaping. We use it for all kinds of things. And so that might be a reflection in there, is that we're actually doing more work with our own equipment. Other than that, I don't have a very easy explanation on that without going back and researching which particular divisions are using more fuel than the other.
Okay. One other question. You mentioned an 11% increase. Were you just talking about stormwater? Where did that go? In the middle of your.
So if you take a look at your utility rate and say, and it changes depending on if you're a bigger user or a lesser user. So I use an average user, somebody who uses 6,000-7,000 gallons of water a month. And you take a look at the impact of their utility bill, just what their cost of their bill was last year compared to the cost of their bill was this year. It was, so fiscal year 12 to fiscal year 13 was about 22% increase. That's reflected as a 5% increase in the infrastructure fee. The implementation of $6.80 stormwater utility fee, an increase in wastewater 20%, and an increase in water 15%. Because your bill is more than just water and wastewater, there's those two fees in there. So that's why I said this year it's about 11.5% for somebody who I think I use a 5,000 gallon user. And you take a look at what their bill is in fiscal year 13 right now, and then what their same bill would be for the same amount of water next year. And you increase water and wastewater 15%, the infrastructure fee and the stormwater fee 5%. The reflective increase is about 11.5%, because the fees that you only raise 5% play a lesser role on their overall utility bill.
Right.
Now, as you get into a larger user, it gets closer to 15%, because that $6.80 fee, which is now $7.15 or something, plays a smaller role on their bill. So if you look at Pack Shrimp, those two little fees mean nothing to them practically, and it's all user rates, so it's almost 15% increase for them. But the average user will see about 11.5%.
Well, that's a very important point, because I think, you know, the word on the street's 15%, and which in reality is more like 11. I don't think that word is out there.
If you can do we have any questions concerning this from the committee? Yes, ma'am.
We talked earlier that you were taxed $327,000 from your revenues, I guess, that go into the general fund.
5% of the revenues for water and wastewater
so
is a franchise fee, yes.
If that wasn't taxed, that stayed in and went into capital projects?
I would do $327,000 more projects.
And so how would that affect your planning on the five-year plan?
It would get you closer, because you figure half of that would go into each of those funds. I'm shooting to get $1.5 million a year in water and wastewater. You know, if you can get there in 1 year, you don't raise rates anymore.
I guess
you know,
that's
so
what
it gets you
so
closer. Anything right. that you don't spend gets
so
you closer.
If you were looking at that, and so instead of a 15% rate increase that we're looking at now, what would happen if we cut someplace else because then we didn't tax that general fund? I mean, it's kind of simplistic thinking, but
I mean, it's numbers. If you take it away from someplace else and you put it here, yes, I could do more capital projects, but then you make up for that somewhere in the general fund. I mean, it can be done easily that way. And that's the whole process that David goes through when he's trying to balance a budget, is you have so many revenue sources, you have so many expenditures, you balance them out so at the end everything zeroes out. And that's what was necessary, and that's what was historical. And that is what is also dangerous, because we're a bit at the 11th hour to be having these kind of discussions, to be moving around $330,000. It's frustrating to me. I'd rather have this conversation in November so we can make some concepts, some policy decisions as it affects transfers. So that when David's actually doing the budget, he's not trying to make up for something like that.
Yeah, I understand. I mean, unfortunately, the budget process in Oregon is mandated in a certain, so I don't get to ask these questions back in November.
It's maddening.
So I'm just looking. And I would also say the handout, I think you did, maybe at a city council meeting, that was the October 2012.
Yeah, I believe both of those are posted on the city council.
Yeah, that was, I was thinking about people who were asking, it's pretty good information, and this one with the rating.
Yep, it shows what, where you'd be at, yes.
Right, it's exactly what Ralph was asked before, about the percentage increases.
Now, again, if you look at that, I believe that's a 5,000 gallon user. You know, if you're a commercial user, that's not applicable. But I'll go through those one at a time with them and show them where they're at with those.
Do we have any other concerns about the operations section of this public works budget? Yes.
To kind of spin off on your attachment to the D5-year scenario, maybe I just didn't get my numbers right. Your projected utility billing for the current top list there was $67.70.
What year is that? I believe it was fiscal year 12.
12.
Yeah.
So that was before the increase.
Right.
So that's your base.
That's where we started off from, yeah.
Yeah, started from. And then for fiscal year 2017, the fifth year of increases, it's $129.89. When I calculated that, that's a 92% increase in utility billings. So is that accurate, or am I correct in saying it's 92%?
I have not done the math that way, but based on the two numbers you gave me, that's pretty accurate, yes.
Yeah, it's almost 100%.
Yeah, and I think that is a more realistic, sustainable utility bill. You know, somebody said that water's cheap. That's true. You know, you can go to the stream and you can take a bucket of water and it's free. But the cost of treating it and distributing it and collecting it again and treating it again, that is not at all cheap. And that's where the value of water is for the city of Newport.
So that increase after your fifth year of scenario would be about $750 a year increase to that user of 5,000 gallons.
I think there will be, yeah. Now, I would encourage you also to take a look at what your cost per gallon is still, even at that rate.
Yeah.
The cost per gallon of water is
still going up.
I don't even think it's 2 cents a gallon. It's less than that. I think it's closer to like 1.4 cents a gallon or something.
The only reason I brought that up is that we can 15%, 15, 10, 10, 8. People can understand that, but when it actually looks at how much they paid out, that increase is 92%. So that's a big jump for them to look at over a 5 year period. I understand how it's necessary, but I just wanted to bring that point. And on your 5 year increases, you're projecting out to have, after that 5 year period of incremental steps, about $1.5 million of new revenue for each water and wastewater funds. So about $3 million sitting there after your 5 years. That continues, doesn't it, on into the future of having $3 million a year. How long do you think it's going to be necessary into the future to carry that forever?
I mean, the city of Newport has 90 miles of water line. Probably cost me $300,000 to do a single block, which is about 350 feet. You start to calculate the cost of replacing your water system, it's beyond comprehension.
But
that's just the distribution system. That's not the 32 pump stations and the wastewater plants and the water plants and the 9 towers that we have and the insulin pump station from the Celebs River and the 7 miles of distribution line through the mountains. I mean, it gets to be beyond your comprehension to be able to deal with the kind of assets that you have to maintain of a city of our size. It really does.
The part of the 15% is your kind of annual increase of operating expenses of 3%.
Yeah, that's built into that. Yeah.
That's built into that. So in reality, you've got only a bump of 12%.
Yeah, so if you think about it from the terms of this year, you had in cost of inflation of 3%. Really, you're only raising your rates 12% to go toward infrastructure. Because I would think that, and if you take a look at that chart, I wish I had done it differently, because I don't think it's really going to be 5% inflationary costs every year. think it's going to be somewhere between 2 and 3 when we actually take a look at what our actual operating costs are, and the costs and the construction cost index is what they call it, which is how much construction increases from one year to the next. And we can track that very, very closely and understand exactly what our projects are going to cost from one year to the next and our operations are going to cost from one year to the next. There are things that are very hard to project, like fuel, and fuel impacts the cost of PVC pipe, and it impacts the cost of asphalt. Those are the things that kill you when it comes to construction, because it can change your cost 30%.
Yeah, those are related to oil prices.
It's all related to oil prices.
Fred Springsteen?
Yeah. Couple things. First, I'm going to ask, if hypothetically you were going to, let's say, situation popped up and you found yourself raising two of your siblings' children through some kind of a natural disaster, and you had to add on to your house, how would you pay for it? You'd probably borrow the money rather than take it out of your checking account. Okay? Well, what you're asking us to do is to take it out of our checking account, right? Am I wrong about that?
Well, your scenario would be that I'm going to add on to my house this year, and the next year I'm going to add on
well,
to my
yeah,
house.
But
in the following year, sure. I'm going to add on to my house. And at some point, you can't sustain that.
Okay, that's exactly right. So, being a kind of a simple soul and an old-time banker, I would like to know where your cash flow projections are. I see fiscal years, okay, but I don't see monthly or quarterly or any kind of those numbers. And I haven't seen any cost projections or priorities as far as your projects are concerned. Make sense?
I do.
So and then what I would like in order to make some kind of an intelligent decision so that I can say, yeah, I'd loan you the money if I had it, okay? I would like to know what your different methods of paying for these projects are. You've got GO bonds or revenue bonds, and I know the difference because I've dealt with them for 30 years. Okay, you've got those two alternatives, and then you, on the other hand, you've got current money, which we're not really sure how that flows, because everybody seems to be saying that these things pay for them. Your two business entities pay for themselves, and they make money. Where does it go? Okay, can that be used for your projects if prioritized properly? Could you pay some cash, or could you be using those funds to pay down debt from the GOs or the revenue bonds?
Yes.
See, there's some different alternatives here that we've talked around, but we haven't gotten down to the nitty-gritty, and I'd like to do that.
Well, I can tell you, on the city's webpage, I have a presentation that was done. I think we're on our third council meeting where we talked about utility rates. I believe the first presentation identified how we established what projects were priorities. It's based on the water system master plan that was approved by the council and included in the comprehensive plan. If you take a look at those projects over the next 20 years, it averages out to about $1.5 million a year if we adjust them each year for the construction cost index inflation. Okay. From the water system, we used only the A2P's water system improvements because that's the only master plan we have there. And that's about $9.5 million to do all the wastewater system improvements. And we looked at that over 5 years. So that's really about $1.5 million a year when we did that last year. The cost has increased since we've started doing the design because there's a bunch of extra stuff in there that we didn't realize we had to deal with. But if you take a look at that presentation, it itemizes all of those projects, what they are, what their costs are, what the project is for. And so these numbers that we came up with and the prioritization of projects are not filled out of the blue, but rather is based on the master plan. If you take a look at this year's CIP, we need to update our wastewater system master plan. The last one was done in 1995. It was just primarily with the wastewater plant and the associated pump station, and is now obsolete. We do not have a handle on what our wastewater system is in the north side of Newport, with the exception of the AHP system north of Walmart. That's the only one that's been studied in depth, and we know what our limitations are there. And so that's how those numbers were established. That's not considering any kind of piping replacement at all. So we have our distribution and collection system that we need to address as well. We can talk a little bit. I'm gonna lump the funding sources into three because they're based on how you pay for them. So if you look at funding sources, they're just rates, which you're calling cash, and I can show you that from operations, personnel, on a yearly basis. I don't break it down quarterly. I got it broken down yearly. what those costs are, what our beginning fund balance is, which is basically reflected in money we didn't spend and money we hold away, how that impacts that particular year, what I expect for the following years. I got that all set out for a number of years in a row. I believe that detail was included in the presentation that was given to council at this very last meeting. Geo bonds obviously are something that goes out to the voters and is paid for through property taxes. You have to keep in mind that we serve people well outside of the city of Newport boundaries, both in water and wastewater, and they would not be paying for those improvements then at that point. And they are paid for through ratepayers, so that has to go out and be voted upon. But, you know, if you take a look at the success of geo bonds, you're competing with every other need that's out there that somebody raises a geo bond referendum for, a water plant. The wastewater plant, I believe, was under a geo bond way back in the day, at least a portion of that funding. You know, the pool's coming along, anything that the schools come out with, you know, you're always in competition with those, and their success rate is not great. And so if you look at it as a consistent funding source, it's not great. If you have some really big projects that we have coming up, it's definitely something to consider, because you can deal with those particular projects and then work on getting your rate structure to a point where you can sustain some of the things that aren't quite so large as that. And then revenue bonds are exactly that. You have to pay back those. Like I mentioned, 16% of our rates in wastewater are already paying for bonds on a project that we did 12 years ago. And I don't remember exactly how long it's going to take for those to be paid off. You have to be very, very, very careful with that. We did that scenario last year when we talked about rates, and at what point you get to the point of no return by doing that, where you just simply can't sustain your debt service anymore with your rates. That you increase your debt faster than you can increase your rates. You know, you can do that calculation pretty simply. And again, I'm going to refer you back to the presentation I did last year, but it's, I believe it's also on the webpage. I wanted to post all of those so people can flip through those, because it's just ridiculous amounts of data. But any way you look at it, the need is there to increase revenue for your infrastructure in Newport in some fashion. And I can go into great detail on projects, capital projects, with you if you'd like, what they are, what they cost, what they do for us. We're looking at the big impact projects first, the stuff to get us in compliance and then meet our primary goals as a public works entity: fire protection, clean water, treating wastewater, no overflows. That's what we're going for out of the gate. We won't get there for 10 years already. We won't get there. I can't complete the Aga Beach wastewater improvements that fast. I can't get that tank up fast enough. I can't extend the water system fast enough. We do not meet our current obligation now. And that's not including the stuff that's going to fail yet. So, but it's probably not appropriate in this context to talk about it in that level of detail.
Tim, what we're going to do is we're going to take a 5-minute break. We're going to come back and talk about capital projects at that time, and you can continue to address the issue brought up by Fred. We have a 5-minute break.
Can I say something just before we break?
No.
It's not a question, it's an observation.
Oh, all right.
I want people to think about this very hard. My expectation coming here tonight was that we went through a series of presentations by all the department heads, and we're continuing to do that. As far as I'm concerned, those department heads have created their budgets over the last year, over the last several years, based on priorities and input from the city council. Unfortunately, the solution that we had before us has resulted in quite a lot of backlash in terms of 50% rate increases. And as of our discussion last week, I thought part of what we wanted to do during tonight's session was to determine, look into some of the things that are more discretionary, determine how many of those might be able to go to the wayside favor of paying for more of the infrastructure that we need to put in place, determine what kind of impact that might have on reducing 15%, for lack of a better way of describing it, in the upcoming year. And then perhaps from there, determining if the amount of debt load that we may have to borrow fits within what Tim has been describing as the land of no return, where you borrow so much money that you can never pay it back.
That is an observation, though, that is more aimed at city council type of decisions rather than budget committee decisions.
Right.
Our job is to listen to the presentation of the capital project, and in that, if we find out that we need to do what you're saying, then we have to make those recommendations as well.
Well, I mean, my point being that some level of looking at that detail, having the knowledge of the budget committee behind why those sorts of adjustments, call it a recommendation if you want, were brought forward. It's just one way of sort of
That should come out as he reviews these capital projects for us, I hope.
Yeah.
Let's take 5 minutes, we'll come back and then we'll begin to hit the old gavel.
Oh, yeah.